Well, good day to you, and welcome to our fourth session as we talk about healing and my redemption. This series has been good for me, so I trust it has for you as well. Today, we're going to be talking about blood flowed as his stripes, or as the stripes were deep. And you'll see much more on that in just a moment. But let's pray before we get started this morning in our review. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you encourage us. And today I thank you that you're going to give us revelation, increased revelation in the knowledge of you and our Lord Jesus, so that we may walk more fully and receive the promises that you've given us. Thank you, Father, that part of this promises is walking in great peace. And I ask you for supernatural revelation again from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Have your way in our lives. And we just declare we won't be the same after hearing this. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Last week we talked about born and carried for me, obviously out of Isaiah 53. And let me just encourage you, this series is building in each session upon the previous one. So if you haven't had time to listen to it, either go back before you hear this one or go ahead and listen to this one, then go back. Because I think as we build precept upon precept, it's going to make a big difference in the revelation that you can receive. We began looking last week again at Isaiah 51, who says, who has believed our message? 53, verse 1. And who has believed our message? And what do we know about that? That's still important today, to believe the prophetic message and the manifestation of that message. We spent a lot of time, most of our time, looking at Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And we really stressed in verse 4, where it says that surely our griefs, which we know now as sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. So you see some of the name even for that, for this last session in this. But the word there, choli, C-H-O-L-I, for sickness, it was so important. 20 out of 24 times, it's translated sickness. And this passage in the King James, in my New American Standard, New King James, is all translated grief. But we saw what? That the word really means sickness. And we looked at two couple of examples. We saw in Deuteronomy where it says, the Lord will remove from you all sickness, that same word. And in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 12, talking about Asa, it says, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord. So Matthew 8:17 affirmed that in the New Testament. It says that in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, he himself, and notice that phrase, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So we then looked at four words that really gave us an increased understanding and revelation in what happened. The word bore or born, which means to lift to himself. So he took that to himself, and it can imply really you put it on a scale. And so he had to take his sin and put it on a scale so he could be judged sin for you and for me. What weight that must have been for him, not just mine, but all of ours. Then carried means to bear a load or burdensome. It implies a heavy load, and it also can imply punishment. But it carries this connotation, and we must get this, an act of removal. So he took it away from who? From you and I. And then we looked at the word chastisement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what did we see? That word literally means taking punishment and being corrected. When you think about it, the stripes were where the most punishment was given. Now, it was given by the priest. There were slaps. There was pulling out of his beard, plucking his beard. The soldiers were ruthless to him. But most of that came with the stripes. And that's going to be important in today's session. And I think it has the potential, when we really stop and think about this one, to just change our lives so dramatically. And then finally, the word for stripes is the word which means welt or black or blue. But it also would mean a wound. as in an open wound, which we know was the case because of the way those whips were constructed, those marks that were left on his skin. We saw that he went like a lamb, quietly, yet he knew what was coming, much different than the lamb. And then in verse 10, this is one of my favorite verses in this passage. It pleased the Lord to do him. It was the pleasure, the good pleasure of the Lord. It was his will to do this to Jesus for you and I. What a profound statement. So in giving up his life, as it says, as he did in verse 12, the last part says, yet he himself bore the sin of many. And we have to go back to Leviticus to get the fullness of that. Leviticus 17:11 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. Now, souls here literally means an entire being, but it's going to have an even greater importance for you today. And then this phrase, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So what we might say then is the Zoe life that Jesus had, that Zoe life blood was shed for you and I as he was made sin, so that what? So that we could be made Zoe life. Oh, what a revelation that is. And we looked at six categories, and I'm just going to tell you what they were. We're not going to read them all today. You'll have to go back to get the detailed understanding. And again, let me urge you to do so if you've not heard it. But there were six examples that we used to differentiate between spiritual healing and physical healing, because so many take the healing physically part away from it and just say, no, it was all fit spiritual. And that's not the case as we saw. We looked at redemptive names, which clearly shows spiritual and physical healing. We saw benefits of redemption in Psalm 103 for both the physical and the spiritual. We saw the same thing when Jesus said in Matthew 9, which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk, in other words, healing. We saw it in the alls, or the whosoever. Whosoever will believe on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus healed what? All those who came to him. The last one we looked at, and I'm taking a couple out of order here, was the Great Commission given to us, and we use Mark 16 as the example, where it talks about a spiritual aspect of it, proclaiming the word for salvation so that they're born again, and for what? For healing, to lay hands on the sick, that they recover. And the last one that I'm going to mention today, which was our fifth one last week, and I just want to read this one to you because it sets the table for what we want to talk about, is the communion table, the taking of the wine and the bread. So let me read to you a few of those verses, maybe not as many as we did last week. 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he, Jesus, and this is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in verse 25, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, that Zoe blood. Do this as often as you should drink it in remembrance of me. So today I want to just jump directly into talking about blood flowing at the stripes. And this is the phrase that you're going to hear over and over. Those stripes were deep. So let's ask the question, why do we take communion? What is the urging, or what is the benefit of us taking communion? He didn't tell us a frequency. He says as oft as you do it. So I know people who do it every day. There have been seasons when I have done it every day. That's not a practice I partake in at the current time every day, but I have. But why do we do it? And I would simply say the last part of each verse gives us a reason to remember. To remember Jesus, to remember the work of redemption that we're talking about today that was accomplished at the cross. And as you do this, what do you see? It just creates an emphasis for us, if we'll allow it to, and if we'll think about it, for that broken body and the blood Now, we need to see that this broken body and the blood and the stripes, let's just talk in that term, that is something based on what we've just seen. Do it as often as you need to remember. Why does he want us to remember? Because that blood and that broken body is something we need to take to our heart every day. It is something that we ought to be able to use every day as we walk in the power that that blood has given us. It was that work, the shedding of the blood, the depth of the wounds, that allows 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3 to flow in our lives. Grace and peace. I want to say that one more time. Grace, all the goodness of God being available to you, all the power of God to give you that goodness being available to you, and peace. Whose peace? Jesus' peace. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus, seeing that through his divine power, he has granted us what? Everything pertaining to life, the physical part, and godliness, the spiritual part. And how? It's through the true knowledge of him who called us in his own glory. The Passion Translation, let me read you verses 2 and 3. May grace and perfect peace cascade, so it sounds like it's supposed to flow continually, doesn't it, over you as you live in the rich knowledge of Jesus, of God and of Jesus our Lord. And here is where it makes a little bit different, saying, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion for God. So again, physical life, that spiritual part, has already been deposited in us through his divine power. And so what were we seeing here? Through the blood and the stripes again. Verse 4 of the Passion goes on to say that through the power of these tremendous promises that we can experience partnership of that divine nature. And that isn't that what we were just talking about? Given that Zoe life, that lifeblood that contained that Zoe life being used as the atonement. And again, it flowed from those stripes as well. Now, all of this thing, if we're going to have a partnership with him, and we've already seen the physical part of it, we saw that it was redemption for our soul, then does that say to us that this work of redemption is complete? Spirit, soul, and body. And I use it purposefully in that order. You know, it's through this grace that from the cross, that shed blood and stripes, and I'm going to say that over and over, that shed blood and those deep stripes. And what is grace? It's treating us as if we'd never sinned. And if we had never sinned, if Adam had never sinned, then what would have been the state of his soul and his body? Perfect peace in his soul, mind, will, and emotions. That's a big one for today. How he thought, how he did work based on the will of the Lord and by his emotions. Treated us if his sin had never existed, then those things would have been perfect for his soul and his body. And that's why we remember. That's what we need to remember. That's why we take communion, that Jesus paid that price for us completely. So let's go back to Isaiah 53. And I want to look specifically at verse 5. And I'm going to read it to you from the New King James today. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now in that, let's just see clearly. Part A and part B, dealing with sin and iniquities, transgressions, willful, and the mistakes we make, he took that for those bruises. Blood flowed from his body, from his pierced hands, his side, his feet, and also from the punishment he took from the soldiers as well as the whipping post. But what did that flow for? This says it flowed for our sin. In other words, the spiritual being. Now, skip down to the last one in there that we read last week. And this is really what we focused on last week. and by his stripes we are healed. So we begin to see healing, and we saw it clearly in the physical realm last week of this body that we have. He paid the price so that we don't have to carry sickness and disease. Isn't that what we saw? Now, part C of this, backing up to the third line, says that the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now, chastisement, we said, means what? Correction that involves punishment. So again, this is clearly talking about direct punishment, which happened at the whipping post. 40:1. And what is the key area that we see here, and let's go ahead and just say in our soul realm, that is impacted so deeply by this? It's not just the mind that we now have the mind of Christ. It's not even the will. But what do people see? That part that people see in our flesh as a result of a soul not being at peace is all that anxiety, worry. So it's what? Our emotions. The stripes also brought us peace. His peace. That punishment. So there is what? There is a healing that can come in your soul. Can I say it this way? His stripes were deep. Now, you say, well, why is this so important? Because that's part of who we are to be. That's part of what people ought to see. They can say to you, how in the world can you be so calm and under control when everything else in the world is going crazy? And I know things are going on in your life which ought to make you crazy, yet you're not. Let's look at a scripture. Go to Luke 4. And let's see this affirmed in another place, the importance of each of these. So in Luke 4, New King James, so he came to Nazareth. This is verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. It was his turn to read. Now, let me just say one thing. As times grow worse, we need to do what Jesus did. Can I just say it this way? He is not forsaking the assembly with his brethren in this. And he is our standard, so we ought to do the same thing. This is not that we can do it on our own. When our emotions go wild sometime, what's the first thing we want to do? Stay away from church. Well, who wants us to do that? It's not the Father. 17 says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, when I read this, my mind goes, he found the place. He found himself in the place where it was written. You ought to find yourselves in these verses as well. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. That's what we saw in the Great Commission. That's what we said in the Great Commission was what? A spiritual part of it. And then it goes on and there's four things listed. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And then 19 concludes by saying, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So if we look at verse 18, the first part is he talked about the anointing that was on him to preach the gospel. So what have we seen already? That's the spiritual part. And let me just say, and I'm sure I'll say it again, that is the preeminent part. Ye must be born again. That is what happens. That is what he's talking about here. So he's talking about that spiritual birth from above. Born again literally means born from above. And as we see that then, we see that in the spiritual. But let's look at these other four, which all pertain to healing. And so I would ask the question of you, of these four areas that we just mentioned, how many pertain to the body, physical healing of the body? And I would purport truly only one, maybe part of another. Let's look at these real quickly. Now, the poor means everyone who lacked Jesus. That you're just going to be poor in every way until Jesus comes into your life. You may have money, but you're going to be poor. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, there's your physical one, and then to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And I most often think about that as mental. Yes, it could be some physical that causes the mental, so I will grant that. But what I want us to see is, how does this speak to the importance of the healing that the stripes brought? It is saying that the emotional part, the soulish part, is very important. It speaks to the fact that he took those stripes so that you and I could receive his peace. In other words, so that the depth of our emotions would be resolved by his peace. How deep were the stripes? All the way to the depths of the most, your innermost emotions and fretting and worrying that you have. Now, verse 19 also emphasizes this. Think about in Jubilee, which we studied recently. You got the land and other things that were returned, which is more the physical realm. But then the slaves were free. And how did it talk about them going? Rejoicing when the trumpet, the Jubilee trumpet, would sound. And so think about the emotional freedom that they received from the being tormented as these men and women and children were held in servitude, in slavery. Redeemed, including our emotions, at ease, at peace. Now, the stripes of Jesus brought our peace, his peace, to our being, and they are available for us to draw from, the stripes and the blood that flowed from them, continually. Now, when the angels came, they proclaimed peace on earth. And here again, I'll say this is the most important. They were talking about no more war between heaven and earth. You've been made at peace with God. And what I would say is, again, that is the preeminent importance. And really, all else that we talk about flows from there. So there's even a relation there. But we must see that is absolutely the beginning point. But before we can walk in this peace that we're talking about today, his peace, that spiritual part, must be dealt with. You know, he doesn't want us to be emotional wrecks. You can be physically sound and be an emotional wreck. Now, I would acknowledge also that many physical diseases can cause emotional disturbances. But we need to understand the flip side as well, because there's a relationship. Emotional disturbances of any kind can cause physical ailments. Heart issues, anxiety, blood pressure, all related. And so what I want to do today is for us to expand our perspective on some verses and not just think physical healing when we read them. For instance, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about, Jesus is talking about, went about doing good, and then it says, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And when we read that, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, what normally do we begin to think of? Well, as we teach physical healing, we think that. But I want you to begin to say from this day on, all means all diseases, all worries, healing not only in our flesh and our body, but in our soulish realm, in our emotions. Now, how far can this go? Well, that's a good time to say, how deep were the stripes? Those emotional things can be caused by numerous things. External things, the worries about what's coming in the world. Am I going to have enough? But I want you to see emotional situations can also be coming to us from other people. So it's physical things that are happening, But quite often, it's people who are causing those difficulties for us. And that can even be between a parent and a child. Now, this is just something that has really come strong in me as I've studied this. So much of the turmoil and the emotional turmoil that we go through as a parent. And I think about one of my kids who had some learning difficulties and how he and I fought trying to get math done correctly. And as I see this, I see it didn't have to be that way. It should have been at peace because Jesus healed us. And I should have been able to walk in this peace that these stripes brought to me and not create a problem between he and I. So it can be there with our children and husbands and wives. You know how little things can escalate and become a real issue between a husband and a wife. And so for us and our spouses, this peace is available from Jesus, his peace, so that we can walk just as he walks with us as the church, as his bride. Let me just say it this way too, and I know I'm saying that phrase over and over, peace every day in every way. And when we do that, do you realize how much condemnation we're removing from ourselves? And that's the biggest tool that the devil has. How can that happen? His stripes were deep. Proverbs 27:20 and two or three more verses. Proverbs 27:20 reads this way, "The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord." So our spirit is where the Lord uses to light up things for us. And it says it searches all the innermost parts of our being. So it's talking about that unseen part. The spirit man, we would say in the New Testament, and our soul, which is so tightly coupled and connected. My heart and my soul. And think about the interaction between your heart and your soul. Where does the Holy Spirit, where does Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, reside in you? Where does the Word reside in you? In your spirit, in your what we would call heart, not our flesh pump, but I've told you before, I believe it's down in this area. And what he's saying here is that this is the origin of everything that flows up to us because it has to go from spirit through our soul to our flesh. And what so often happens, we get in emotional torment and we say, I just can't hear the Lord. I can't feel anything. And we become so distressed. But here what it's saying is, as we understand that his peace is available for us in our soul, that our emotions do not control us, then when our emotions are overflowing like that, the example I use, it's almost like it blocks the flow from our spirit to be released through the rest of our being, soul and body. But when there's peace there, then that power flows, the understanding of the Word flows, the revelation comes, and we walk fully in that peace. How close are those? Well, I think Hebrews 4:12 gives us a clue. And there's not but one thing, the Holy Spirit with the Word, that can get to separate that, those two things. So that's how tightly coupled our soul and our spirit are. And we've got to understand that we need to have it flowing from spirit through our soul to impact us. It says, Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit." So it's the Word with the Holy Spirit that can only get that deep in us. And then it gives the example of both joints and marrow. And it says it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Might I just say again, his stripes were deep. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 30, reads this way. "Stripes that wound scour away evil." Let me just stop there. The word scour interests me, and I just stopped to meditate on it. I can remember my grandparents, and maybe my mom too, taking those wire, it was like a wire sponge almost, and they would take that thing and put soap in the pot, and they would scrub that pot with that thing. And what did they call those things? A scouring pad. It's something that removes something that's tightly there. So listen to that. Think about that as I read this. Stripes that wound scour away evil. And stripes, reach the innermost parts. Now let's gain some understanding by some other translation. New King James. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil. That's the scouring pad. As do the stripes, the inner depths of the heart. Now remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the understanding that we do between heart and soul. It just all seemed to be where you live life together, put together. But we now differentiate that and how tightly these are coupled. So this phrase then that says, stripes the inner depths of the heart. That phrase, inner depths of the heart, is a Jewish idiom. And what it really refers to is our emotions deep within us. So when it reads then, it says, as do the stripes, the inner depths of our emotions deep within us. That's what you need to have understanding from the Jewish heritage to really fully appreciate this verse. Now, listen to the Amplified, because it gives you, it's going to create a change in us, I believe, from this day forward, particularly as we close with our last verse in a moment. It says, blows that wound cleanse away evil, basically the same thing as the others. And here's the part that's different. And strokes for correction, which we understand, reach to the innermost parts. So those corrective strokes that Jesus took for us not only reach to his innermost parts, but they reach to whose? To yours and mine. They're so deep that they reach to the brokenhearted to bring deliverance to the captives, to set free those who are emotionally bruised. And that is another part of the great exchange that we have. How often are we held captive by what we perceive thoughts of other people about us? It doesn't have to be. The stripes were deep and it paid the price so that we can have peace and not that emotional distress. You can maintain peace through all the trials that you go through. 3 John 2. I'm just going to tell you, I don't believe that if you really listen to this and meditate on it for a little bit, that you'll ever read this verse the same way again. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. And then comes this phrase that I've taught on many times before, just as your soul prospering. So it's saying that for us to truly prosper in our body, what must be prospering? Our soul. The Amplified, again, does a really good job here. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well. Now, here's the phrase I want you to pick up on. Even as I know, your soul keeps well and prospers. My soul keeps well and prospers is a confession I believe we ought to be making over ourselves. Now, understand that, I try to work to make my soul prosper, for me to make my soul prosper. And there are things that I can do. I can cast down vain imaginations. I can understand how Corinthians tells us that we're to handle thoughts that need to be cast down. But what is this saying? My soul just doesn't prosper because I cast down those things. My soul is prospering because his stripes were deep. I've got help in creating a prosperous soul. I don't have to do that myself. I don't have to fight all those thought battles myself because his stripes were deep and the blood that flowed from it is at work in me. Do you see how these relate? Can you see how we can read this 3 John 2? Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. And it's almost like John is seen in the Spirit, just as your soul is prospering because of the stripes that were so deep and the chastisement he took for you, that I expect your soul to prosper. Oh, we have help. Spirit, soul, and body. That is part of our redemption. That is part of the redemptive work and my healing portion of it. Thank you for being with us today. We'll be delving further into this subject of our redemption as we build upon the precepts that we've learned thus far. Have a great week.